Happy feast, brethren. Welcome to the second segment of today's Sabbath service. And we thank God for both the spiritual food and the physical food that we've received. And now we're about to receive another spiritual food. And we thank God for providing for us all these. The title of my message this afternoon is Power to Overcome. Power to Overcome. When you look at our spiritual journey, you find out that we have a lot of challenges, a lot of obstacles, and a lot of hindrances. And most of these hindrances are not from our neighbor, they are not from the country. Most of these hindrances are from us, self. Our human error and human desire, and the things our body and our flesh desire so much. And they are so powerful, has a lot of power that we, it's not something that we can overcome very easily in order to make spiritual progress. And therefore, we need power to overcome. If you turn to the book of Romans 7:19. Apostle Paul said, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil presents with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my member, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my member." So Apostle Paul was expressing a kind of the challenges and frustration that we could face as God's people that emanates from us, not from anywhere else. The works of the flesh that hinders us from making spiritual growth. And Jesus Christ was very clear in his message. He said, if you want to follow me, you must deny self. Self must be removed, put aside, before we can follow Jesus Christ effectively. If you turn to Luke 9:23. Let's read that from the book of Luke 9. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So when we look at ourselves, do we think we have the challenges that Apostle Paul expressed in the book of Romans 7:19? That sometimes when we want to do the right thing, we see ourselves doing the wrong thing. That happens to me sometimes because of human nature. Human nature is so powerful. But Christ wants us to deny self. It's very easy to say it, but it's not easy to do it. If you turn to Ephesians 6 tells us the nature of these hindrances and challenges that we face. That comes from us, some of them from external sources, but the one that comes from us is human in nature, but the strength is spiritual, is beyond what we can handle, is beyond what we can take care of on ourselves. Ephesians 6:12. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. It might look like human nature. It might look as if we are fighting human nature. It might look as if we are fighting our own desire. But the Bible describes exactly the nature of these hindrances and the forces that we are fighting. It says they are not, it's not flesh and blood. We are fighting against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, this is beyond something that we can handle. And Jesus Christ also says something, if you turn to John 15:5. Jesus understood this very well. And he, look at what he says to us in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So without God, without God's power, we will not be able to overcome. We will not be able to make spiritual progress. We need this power of the Holy Spirit to do this. And God have assured us that he will be with us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will give us all the strength that we need. He will be with us to make sure that we make spiritual progress, we do the work of the kingdom, and become part of his kingdom when his kingdom comes. If you turn to Deuteronomy 9, verse 8, Moses was speaking to God's people on their journey to the on their way to the promised land. We are on our way to the promised land as well. And this same thing applies to us. This same words applies to us. Okay, looks like I have the wrong scripture. But Moses told the people that God is with them and that God will never leave them nor forsake them. And God did not. God did not. And God is going to be with us. And this what that power is what we are celebrating today. The day God poured out his Holy Spirit upon his people and gave them the power to face the challenges that we face as God's people and to overcome. And the power to preach the gospel to all nations. That is what we are celebrating today. And if you turn to the book of Acts 1 verse 8. Jesus Christ told them what will happen when they receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. Jesus said to his disciples, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and in the utmost part of the earth. Jesus said on this day, when the Holy Spirit come upon his people, that they will receive power. And if you also turn to Corinthians 10, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 10. I'm going to confirm now. Second Corinthians 10:4. So Jesus assures them that when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, that they will receive power. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The strongholds, human nature. Those things that stop us from making spiritual progress. Those desires that stop us, that hinders us when we want to please God because of the forces behind them. God has given us the power to overcome them. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is the power that we celebrate today that the apostles received. The power that we received when we got baptized and hands laid on us, we received this power. The power to overcome. But you know one thing. It's one thing to have power. It's another thing to know how to use that power. It's one thing to have power. It's another thing to expand that power and make it stronger. And that is what we need. We have the Holy Spirit. We need to understand and learn how to use the power that God has given to us to make spiritual progress, to serve God with all our hearts. And this is very important because the Bible says something. The Bible says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not stop the Spirit, which means it's possible that we can have the Spirit of God, but we don't know how to use it. We don't use it. It's dormant. Jesus Christ said, do people light a candle and put it under a bushel? If you sit down at one place and you don't use your muscles, they will atrophy. The same applies to the Spirit of God in us, the power that God has given to us. And you will see this in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It's a very short verse. Say, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. If God has given us the Spirit, use it. If you have any gift from God, use it. So we need to learn how to use the power, the Spirit that God has given to us. And that's what I want us to look at this afternoon, how to use the Holy Spirit, the power of God. One of the ways to make effective use of God's Spirit is through prayers. Through prayers. If you turn to Romans 8:26, Romans 8:26, prayers is one of the ways to make effective use of God's Spirit. Romans 8:26. And it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit that God gave to us is a powerful tool, and we can exercise it through prayers. The Spirit helps us to ask and direct our prayers according to the will of God. And look at what the Bible tells us again in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We have an intercessor and a guide that helps us to know what to say to God, because God is a spirit, and when we approach God, we need to approach God respectfully, and we need to talk to God without, you know, all those mistakes that Jesus Christ highlighted when he was teaching them how to pray. This is another short verse, and it says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. We have a lot of testimonies in the Bible about prayers, a lot of testimonies in the Bible. People who have the Spirit of God, and they made effective use of the Spirit, the power that God gave to them. We have we had the story of Paul and Silas, who were put into the prison. The Bible said at midnight, they prayed, they sang, and the prison doors opened. We have, you know, the story of Jonah, who was running away from God. And God sent a big fish to swallow him and put Jonah in his belly. The Bible said from in the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verse 1, Jonah prayed to God from the belly of the fish. And after he ends his prayers, the fish vomited Jonah out. Jonah came out from the belly of the fish. The challenges we have, they are not as bad as being in the belly of the fish, like in the grave. They are not as bad as that. And when you look at the prison doors that we are open, this is what prayers can do. Our body, our desires are like prison. We are like in the prison of our desires. And prayer can break and open the doors of that prison for us if we make effective use of prayers. So prayers is one of the ways to make effective use of the Holy Spirit, the power that God has given to us. What about Daniel? Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and because of that, they put him in the lion's den. But when he was thrown into the lion's den, the lion's mouths were shut. This is prayers. And prayers is still effective today. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Let's not stop praying, brethren. When we take our breakfast, let's pray. When we take our lunch, let's pray. When we do our dinner, let's pray. Let's balance the physical food with prayers. Prayers is one of the ways, and I want us to remember that. Another way is to use the Holy Spirit effectively, or the power of God effectively, to overcome our hindrances, our challenges, is through Bible study. It's through Bible study. If you turn to Hebrews 4:12, Hebrews 4, Hebrews 4:12 tells us about the nature of the Word of God. How powerful the Word of God is. And he said, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is the Word of God. The Word of God can perform all the surgeries. The Word of God can work on our mind. The Word of God can help us shape our thoughts. The Word of God can subdue self. You know how we feed self? How we feed self and make self stronger? If you get angry very quickly, how do you feed your anger and make your anger very strong? And one day your anger will overpower you if we continue to feed our anger. When you are angry, you say some stupid things. You curse people out. You are feeding your anger. You are making that problem stronger. When you are angry, you fight just to please yourself. You are making that problem stronger. This is how we feed our problem. When we have some desires, fleshly lust, we go out of our ways to satisfy our desires. When we're doing all this, we are feeding those negative energies. And as we continue to feed them, they will overpower us. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. This is also how we can weaken all those negative energies, by strengthening the power that God has given to us, by strengthening that power through Bible study. And the Bible says that the Word of God can help in the designing of our thoughts, shaping our thoughts, directing our thoughts towards God. And this is how we can make effective use of God's Spirit. If you also turn to the book of Joshua 1:8. Joshua, Moses had died, and God ordained Joshua to lead his people to the promised land. And this was the instruction that God gave Joshua. If we take this instruction and incorporate them in our lives, we will also get to the promised land. Joshua 1:8. God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. The book of the law is the word of God, the Bible. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, wheresoever thou goest. God told Joshua not to let go the word of God. He said, this book of the law should not depart from your mouth. Read it, study it, meditate on it, pay attention to it. Let it sink, absorb it. And this is how to overcome all the mountains, all the challenges that are before us. And Jesus Christ assures us that we will overcome because he is with us. If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1 tells us what the word of God can do, the power of the word of God. This power is still in the word of God. It's still there. The word of God is very effective. It does not lose its efficacy at any time. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. It's talking about creation. How did God create the entire universe? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The word of God. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be firmament in the midst of waters, and let it divide the waters from waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. How did God bring forth light? Through his word. God said, let there be light. And there was light. If we read the word of God and study the word of God will create in us new spirit to continue to renew us, because anywhere the word of God lands is going to make a change and an impact. And the Bible says that change will be good, to be a positive change, a good one. So Genesis tells us that the word of God is very effective. If we're having challenges, if we are struggling with self, human nature, or anything, we can pray effectively. We can study the word of God, and we will overcome. I can assure us, from the authority from the Bible, we will overcome, because that is the power to overcome. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the power that God has given to us to overcome. So I've said the first one, prayer, the second one, Bible study, and the third one, living the word of God. When we study the Bible, we read the word of God, and we order our lives according to the word of God. Exactly what God wants us to do. That's how we do spiritual exercise. When you exercise your muscles, I was talking with Mr. George Carver about exercise. When we exercise our muscles, they get bigger, they get stronger. When we apply the word of God in our everyday lives, the Spirit of God in us continue to increase, and our positive values continue to get stronger, and our negative values continue to weaken. If you turn to James 2, James 2:17. And it says, even so, faith, if it had no works, is dead. So if we continue to read the word of God, but we don't apply them in our everyday life, the Bible says, is dead. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God that does well, but devil also believes. So believing and studying the word of God and believing it is not enough. We must apply it in our everyday life. That is how we strengthen our faith. That is how we strengthen the power in us. That is how the Holy Spirit increases every day by day. John the Baptist says he must increase and we must increase. That's the goal. And we can achieve this by ordering our lives according to everything that's written in the Word of God. This is another effective way of using the Holy Spirit, the power of God in us. If you turn to Galatians 5, Galatians 5:22. When we use the word of God effectively, when we pray effectively, when we study the word of God as we should, and when we order our lives according to the word of God, this is what we will see. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. James was talking about love, agape love. Jesus Christ gave us a command to love one another and to love our neighbor as ourselves. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So every day we need to be assessing ourselves to see if we have all these qualities, if we are bearing all these fruits. If we bear one and the other one is not there, it's a sign, an indication that we need to work harder, pray more, study more, open our minds and our heart to God and ask God to help us. Jesus Christ assures us that if we pray, we will receive whatever we ask. Jesus Christ even said that if we bind anything on earth, God will honor it. It will be bound in heaven. And if we lose anything here, God will lose it in heaven. That's how effective the power that God has given to us is. So we must ensure that we are bearing fruit. We must nourish the Spirit in us. We must make sure we don't lose it. Must nourish it and make sure we are increasing every day by day. And these values, the fruits of the Spirit, we see them in us. And love is very powerful. Love is the most powerful tool. If anybody hates you, Jesus Christ said, love your neighbor. Love those that hate you. Because that's the strongest tool to use to overcome whoever, any form of force, is love. If you turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. So today we're talking about the power to overcome self, to overcome human nature, to overcome the mountains before us, to overcome the challenges that hinder us from spiritual growth, making spiritual progress. And we thank God for this day, for pouring out His Spirit. We thank God for repentance. We thank God for forgiveness. We thank God for His Holy Spirit in us. And we must learn to make effective use of God's power and God's Holy Spirit to overcome. Ephesians 6:10. Says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days. And having done all, to stand. We must remember that it's not by power, nor by might, but by God's Spirit. And we can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and the mountain will be removed. The Ephesians 6:10 is reinforcing that again. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What is truth? Truth is the word of God. The word of God is truth. We must make sure we are holding the truth. What we hear is the truth. What we believe is the truth. What we apply to our lives is the truth before we'll be able to overcome. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, we must ensure that we are light of the world and that light is shining. And men see it and they say that we are God's people. And one of the ways to shine that light is to demonstrate the love we have for God and the love we have for humanity. And your foot shoe with preparation of the gospel of peace. The Bible encourages us to make peace. To make peace with all men, if it's what we can do. I know we can do it. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And we are his people. We are peacemakers. And these are all the armor of God. Truth, righteousness, peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We talked about Bible study. It's very important. The Bible says the sword of the Spirit is offensive. Others are defensive, put on a breastplate and so on. But this is offensive. We use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We also need to understand how to use it, make use of it, like Jesus Christ did. When Satan asked him to turn stone to bread, Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone. He used that sword of the Spirit. When Satan told him to jump from somewhere, you know, to the floor, that the angels will hold him, Jesus Christ said, no, you should not tempt the Lord your God. That's the word of God. That was how he used it. And when he asked him to bow down to him and promise him the entire world and the riches of it, Jesus Christ said, no, you can only bow to the Lord your God, and him alone will you worship. This is how to use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And the Bible is encouraging us to overcome. We need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So the Bible, everything I've said, all the points I've listed, prayer, Bible study, and doing God's will, living our lives according to the word of God. They are all highlighted here as the armor of God. And these are the things we need. This is how we can make effective use of God's Spirit to overcome and to grow and to advance spiritually and to do the work that God has given to us to do. So, brethren, I want to encourage us to reflect on this day. Go inwardly and search. If we have any challenges that have to do with self, if we have any struggles that have to do with self, God has given us the power, as long as we have God's Spirit, to overcome such challenges. And we can overcome through effective prayer, through Bible study, and by living the word of God.